Welcome to the Covenant Life Church podcast. We hope this message allows you to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference.
Well, you know, when I was probably 4 or 5 years old, I remember we lived in Corpus Christi, Texas, and we had this drainage ditch that we loved to go play in, right? Now that was back in the day when you could get on your bike and ride 50 feet away from your house and still feel safe, right? You know, and so we would go and play in this ditch, but it was a drainage ditch. And when I say drainage ditch, to like a, you know, 5-year-old, it's like 8 feet tall. And so we're down in this drainage ditch and we love to go down there and we would catch crabs. You know, we'd take some bologna, put it on a string, and we'd go down and we'd catch crabs. You know, we enjoyed doing it. And I remember my parents saying, don't do that. I don't want you going back there. I don't want you going down there and doing that. Don't do that anymore. And so as a 5-year-old, what do you think I did? I went back. Right? So one day I go back and I'm with my friend and we're down in the drainage ditch and we're catching crabs and we were supposed to go to the beach that day. Now, if you don't know, Corpus is in southeast Texas, you know, close there to the coast and not far, really not too far from Mexico either. They told me not to go, but we were supposed to go to Galveston and go to the beach. And so I'm down there. We're catching the crabs. You know, we're having a big time as kids. We're just, you know, living our life, doing our thing. And all of a sudden, I see my dad walk up. And he walks up and he steps up to the edge of the ditch. And I'm down there, you know, and I'm looking up and I realize, because he wasn't smiling. Come on now. He wasn't smiling at me. And he said, what are you doing down there? I'm just catching crabs, you know, like what we always done. And he said, come on, you need to come home right now. Now, I was 5, and by that time, I was old enough to know what disobedience to my father was going to do. That was back in the day when, well, I'll fill you in here. So I get up and we throw my bike in the car, you know, and we head back to the house. And man, he's like just silent. He's just silent. And so we get back to the house. Well, he was mad. You know, he was mad. Now, my father, I have a great relationship with him. I love my father. So he would own up to this story, you know, any day. But he was mad that day. And I got whooped. Amen. Y'all, anybody in there ever had to go pick out your own belt? You know what I'm saying? That's when I wish they had the cloth belts. You know what I'm saying? Nowadays, we got the cloth belts. And I wish that we had the cloth belt. You know, that's what I'd be picking out. But no, for me, it was the white leather belt, you know, or the belt that he used to sharpen his knives on. So that day I got whooped. I mean, you know, it's one of those. I told you, you know, not to go, you know, like every other syllable came a lick, right? And then on top of that, they called a babysitter. And I had to stay home from the beach. Now, I would like to say that that cured me. It helped. Come on now. It helped, but it didn't cure me. Right? There have been plenty of times in my life where I was just, I mean, my parents told me, I don't remember it, but my parents told me I got spanked every day in some form. Even if it was mom with a wooden spoon, you know, we just tried not to laugh because if we laughed, it'd be worse later when dad got home, right? So you had to fake it, you know, like it hurt. In our life, why do you think that my parents told me not to go down there? Was it because they didn't want me to have any fun? They were getting ready to take us to the beach. They weren't against fun. They didn't want me to go down there because it was dangerous. Because in a moment's time, if it rained or something happened, it was a major corduct for water to flow. And as a five-year-old, that wouldn't be good. I mean, I could swim, but I don't care how good you can swim. If you're in that kind of current and stuff, you're in trouble. So their heart for me was, I want to protect you. But the temptation for me was, I just want to play and have fun. What's the big deal? Right? And so, you know, even with our own kids, raising them up, and I say raising them up because I don't have that kind of authority in their life anymore. My kids don't get spankings anymore. You know what I'm saying? The only place I have in my kids' life today is I get to give them wisdom, and then they make their choices, right? But I don't control that. I can't. But as children, there were things that you would tell them. Anybody ever had your parents say, you know, don't do something, and you ask why, and they say, because I said so? And there were things in my kids' life that we would sit down and they would ask, can we go do something? And we'd say, no, you can't. And they'd say, why? And I said, I don't have a reason. I don't have a natural explanation, but I have something in my spirit that says you can't go do that. And so I love you. And with our kids, we had to teach them that, hey, there's going to be times you just got to trust mom and dad, that we know best for your life. And so we've all, as parents, been in those places because you don't want harm to come to your kids. We want to protect them. We want to take care of them. But there's times when you may not know. You may not fully understand. And so, you know, when we look at this, is, you know, in our series of what if, my question today is, what if we obeyed the Lord? What if we obeyed the Lord? What if we lived a life of obedience? What would that look like? Why would that even be important in our life, that we'd live a life of obedience as far as obeying the Lord? So I want to walk through just a few things with you about obedience. Number one is that our obedience reflects our love for the Lord. It reflects our love for the Lord. Listen, John 14, 15 through 17, he says, if you love me, right? And I'm going to explain that because I think we misunderstand it. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another helper that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Our obedience to the Lord does reflect, it's a response of our love for him, right? It is a response. In other words, your obedience is not going to cause God to love you more or love you less. Your obedience is not going to change the finished work on the cross. Come on now. Or your lack of obedience. It's important that you understand that, because sometimes we equate that and we think, well, I haven't done everything just right, so God's not going to do A, B, C. Well, that's not necessarily the case. There are things that have already been accomplished and paid for. But if I do love the Lord, in other words, if I'm loving the Lord, the byproduct of that love for him is my heart's going to be to obey him. Do you understand the difference? It's not this hard thing. It is the fact that, God, I love you. Jesus, I love you. So my desire is to walk in obedience with you. Another important of obedience is that it involves us in his plan for our lives and the lives of others. Because he has a plan for you, and his plan for you is, it's intertwined in his big plan. So there's not one day, there's not one hour, there's not one second that God's wasting in your life. But our obedience to the Lord is not that we're making a way or God's creating a plan. He's got a plan for your life. He's got a purpose for you. And your obedience and my obedience to the Word of God, our obedience to the leading of the Spirit, our obedience to those things in our life, what that does is that positions me in a place to participate in what God has already written. And if you want the full context, just go look at the life of Jesus. Look at his life. His whole life was a participation in what was already written. Think about that for a minute. Jesus didn't have to make a way for himself. Jesus just was obedient. Jesus just submitted to the Father's will. You'll read it all through Scripture. He did it because it was written. He did it to fulfill all righteousness. He did it because it was spoken. You can go through and see all of those things came to pass because of obedience. Mary obeyed the Lord and let her life, let her be a place for God to impregnate her, if you will, with the Son of God, to be made flesh. Her obedience positioned her for that. It didn't change God's love for her. He already loved her fully and completely. It's important for you and I to understand that. And you can go to Acts chapter 9. You can look at Ananias and Saul. And Saul, who became Paul, right? He's this guy. The Bible says he was a Pharisee among Pharisees. Like, he was learned. He was one of the smartest people. He was zealous, quote, for God, but in a wrong way. And he was actually watched over the persecution of Christians all the way to being able to watch over the death of one of the apostles. And God meets Saul on the road, the Bible says, to Damascus. And the bright light shone and it knocks him off his horse, and God begins to change the course of Saul's life. A course that Saul was living in disobedience to God to a course with Saul of living in obedience to God. And so God touches his life. Saul is blind, right? He's just been knocked off of his horse. He's seen a vision of the Lord. He's blind. He's led to a certain place, and God goes to Ananias and he says, hey, I need you to go pray for Saul. And Ananias is like, God, do you know who he is? Do you know who this guy is? Like, this guy's ruthless. This guy has watched over your followers being murdered. Do you know who this person is? And God's like, yeah, but I've got an assignment for you. I need you to go and lay your hands on Saul. And so what did Ananias do? He went, laid his hands on him. The scales came off of his life. Saul was filled with the Holy Spirit. Come on now. Why? Because Ananias was willing to be obedient and walk in obedience, but his obedience was connected to Saul's life. You can go and look at Peter and Cornelius and their lives. And I encourage you to go and read Acts chapter 10. How God gave a vision to Peter, and that vision, and through that vision, it changed the course of Peter's life, because up until that time, Peter would not preach the gospel to the Gentiles. It was only to the Jews. And it changed everything. Right? And so through Cornelius' obedience and Peter's obedience, the gospel was opened up to the Gentiles. Just a powerful picture in the Scripture of God's plan being carried out through people. And that's why your obedience to the Lord is important. The enemy wants you to feel insignificant. He wants you to feel like it doesn't matter if you obey the Lord or not. He wants you to feel like your life is just that insignificant. Well, that's left up to so-and-so. That's left up to so-and-so. But your obedience in life is tied to other people. The next is that our obedience positions us for God's blessing. It positions us for God's blessing. Listen to me. Obedience does not earn God's blessing. It's already paid for. Okay? But it positions us to receive it. You see, God's desire to bless and provide for your life is rooted in his love for you, and it's because of his grace, and it's because of the finished work of the cross. But you and I, our obedience positions us to be able to, by faith, to receive the benefit of that, to receive the result of that in our life. It positions you. If I left $1 million for each one of my children, now, we're not there yet, so don't. And keep praying, right? Keep praying. But if I left them $1 million, do they have to earn it? No. Do they have to go work? I mean, I could make a stipulation. But if I earned it and I left it, do they have to go work for it? Do they have to earn it? They don't have to do any of that. But they're going to have to sign some paperwork to be able to get access to it. They're going to have to position themselves to be able to make a draw on it. Come on now. And many times in our life, we leave out that part. We want to talk about the grace and the blessing, and all of that is true. It's one of the most amazing things that we have is God's grace towards us. His favor in our life, the finished work of the cross, but I still have to position myself in a place of faith which requires obedience in order to draw on what is being given to me. I don't have to earn it. I don't have to work for it. I don't have to do that. So your obedience is not earning you anything. It's simply positioning you to be a recipient of something that's already provided. Man, praise God. Now, there's certain things God's going to do for you. But the Bible says that if you're going to be saved, you have to believe. Well, what does faith have to do with it? It positions you. You see what I'm saying? You're just simply receiving something already. It's there. So the needs in your life, they're already provided for. You know, but sometimes the avenue that those needs are met is a job. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you don't believe that, quit your job, go sit on the couch and see if your needs get met. Does that make sense? So walking in obedience positions us. Matthew, well, let me just read. I'm just going to read this portion of scripture to you. You remember whenever Jesus... The Bible says that he was ministering and a multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God. And it says that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Matthew chapter 4, Mark chapter 1, you can read it. It says, and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Jesus gets in a boat, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. And when he'd stopped speaking, he said to Simon, hey, Simon, launch out into the deep, launch out a little bit. I'm going to take you fishing. And Simon responded and said, we've fished all night. Like, this is our trade. This is what I do day in and day out. We've done this all night and we've caught nothing. But nevertheless, come on now. Nevertheless, at your word, what does he do? He says, we'll go. Come on. And so they push out, and he says, cast the net over here. And they catch such a great catch of fish, right, that they had to call other boats to be able to come in and help them. I don't believe if Peter would have said no, do you think he would have caught the fish? No, that wouldn't have happened. Peter said yes. And I think sometimes in our life, those are some of the small things that we've got to make sure we're doing in our life to know that we are being obedient and doing what God's called us to do, because it's positioning for what God wants to do in us, for us, and through us. And then the last one is obedience leads to a good reward. Hey, if you made Jesus the Lord of your life, amen. By faith, you've given your life to Christ. You're born again. You put your trust in him. You're going to be with Jesus. Isn't that good news? Amen. But listen to what the Bible says, Matthew 25, 21. It's the parable, one of the parables of the talents. And at the end, the Lord comes back, and the ones he gave talents to are bringing back to him what he had given them. And they're showing that, hey, we did something with what you gave us. And he says to him in verse 21, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. He says, enter into the joy of the Lord. He didn't say well done or well receiving. He said, well done. There's a part in our life that with what God's put in us, that there's an expectation that we do something with it. Amen. That's God's desire. Not to get him to love us, but because he already loved us. Not to get him to redeem us, but because he's already redeemed us. Come on now. So my life now becomes an outflow of what Christ has already done, and that now flows out of my life and a desire. The Apostle Paul said it this way. He says, I'm a debtor to the Jew and the Gentile. Why? Because of what Christ had done for him. He saw himself as a debtor to others. Amen. And so I want to encourage you, I'm going to challenge you as always in your life to position yourself through obedience to do what God's called you to do. Now, I don't have time to preach on all of these, but I'm going to just give them to you. What does it take to be obedient? The number one thing that it takes to be obedient is humility. It's humility. Not a woe is me. It's not humility. It's just a humble spirit before the Lord and understanding that, Lord, my life belongs to you and my life is submitted to you. It's going to require humility. The Bible says God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Amen. There's something about humility in our life. And there's a story about Samuel and Saul, who was named the king over the people of Israel. And God gave Saul an assignment in 1 Samuel 15. He gave him assignment and said, I want you to go. And he said, I want you to utterly destroy these people off the face of the earth. I mean, go read it. It's harsh. There's a reason for that. We don't have time to go into that. But Saul takes his people and they go and they do mostly what God told them to do. But they spared the king and then they took all the good stuff for themselves. And God is enraged and angered. Now, this is Old Testament. Okay. But God sends Samuel to Saul, and Saul says, hey, bless you, Samuel. I did what the Lord told me to do. And Saul and Samuel says, why do I hear the bleating of sheep in my ears? And this is a statement that he made that in my life has helped shape part of my life in humility. And he said, and that's still a work in progress, by the way. And he said, Saul, he said, when you were small in your own eyes, when you were small in your own eyes. I remember our first pastoral assignment in Jackson, Tennessee. We've been on staff over 15 years at the church, 20. I was the number two person, if you will, in the church ministerially. Pastor's right-hand person. Been under, I mean, we're a church of 2,500 people, reaching people all over the world. Millions given to missions. And I remember thinking, man, wherever we go, we're just going to crush it. We're going to kill it. I mean, look who we are. Look who we are. Look at this church. I've got a company car. I've got a corner office. I got a church card. I don't have to believe God for anything. That's the pastor's job, but we're going to crush it. And I remember 7 years of humility being driven into my life because I thought I was something. I thought I was something. I remember showing up with 12 people. me and Julie and my kids doing everything from me running sound while we're playing videos, running up and doing the offering and doing it all. And we had this big, beautiful church across the street, and it was Assemblies Church, and it was a big, beautiful church. And ours is just a small-looking country church, gravel driveway. But man, you know, we're proud of that. We're going to just, man, we're going to have 100 people in no time, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And as time goes on, sure, the church grew, and we're touching and doing, but not anything like I thought. But I remember in the early days, we'd stand, and our glass doors of our entrance faced the church across the street. And on Wednesday night, we'd stand there, sometimes just me and my family there, watching people pull into the church across the street. It didn't take long for me to realize, not that my life wasn't important or valuable, but my life belonged to the Lord, right? And yes, he wanted me to bear fruit, and there's other things to the story, but it was a time of humility, of me understanding what it was to pastor, to love people, to believe God. I remember the first time we had to believe God, you know, we're believing God for money, you know, to come into the church. I didn't have, you know, the people, I mean, 12 people. We had bills, we had things, we're believing God. I remember the first time we had a $500 check come in. Remember that? And we're like, you know what I'm saying? Praise God. We had to use our faith. We had to use our faith to believe God for those things. And I just want to challenge you in your life. Humility is vital if you're going to fulfill what God's called you to do. It's vital in your life. It's vital in our life. And so 7 years of humility. And it wasn't God being ugly. He met our needs. He provided for us. Our kids, you know, we had. It's not that we weren't blessed or didn't have anything. But God, it was like God was teaching me to humble myself before him. And that he's the one that had called me. Amen. And so in your life, it's going to require obedience. It's going to require a level of humility in your life. And humility is not being debased. It's not laying down. It's not being less than. None of that is humility. That's a false humility. Humility is having a God estimate of yourself based on Scripture. Not what you do, but who you are. And I remember after we were done there, we went back to Shreveport for time, and we're like, yeah, we'll just pastor and we'll keep moving. Well, God had different plans again. But I remember walking after church one day, and there was one of our board members, actually his wife, you know, at the time, and at the church there. And I remember walking and she asked me, because we had their kids in kids' church, youth. She asked me, how are y'all doing? She knew we had come back. And, you know, and I looked at her with disappointment. And I said, well, I'm having to work like an outside job. I've always worked. I know people don't necessarily think so, but I'd been in full-time ministry at 21 years old. It's all I ever knew. And I was working at my parents' ranch. They had partners, and I was working at the ranch 10 hours a day. Bush hogging. I don't mind the work. Doesn't bother me. But in my mind, I'm like, I'm not doing ministry. I'm having to, quote, work. And she looked at me. She said, what's wrong with that? And God, again, hit me pretty hard. And those 4 years of doing ministry and traveling, and we did different things, but those times of working, you know, 10, 15 hours a day in order to provide for my family, God changed the heart in me towards the body. Because it was easy for me as a pastor to say, why don't you show up for this? Why aren't you there for that? Why aren't you doing this? But I got a taste of the other side, that I couldn't be at Wednesday night church all the time. Come on now. And so there's moments in our life that God is able to work, and if we'll humble ourselves and receive that, then it's going to make us better moving forward. Last one, two more. Obedience requires faith. Proverbs 3, 5 through 8. And it just says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He'll direct your paths. Amen. It requires, you're going to have to believe God. Obedience is never going to just be easy. You believe God when he asks you, especially steps of faith in your life. Amen. And then the last one is that obedience requires courage. It requires courage in your life. And you can go and read that. You can read that in Joshua chapter 1. The Bible says Moses is now dead, and now my servant is now dead. And he called Joshua to take the people into the promised land. And he told Joshua over and over to be of good courage. Why? Because he knew that it would take that. Your life of obedience is important. It's important to the Lord. It's important to the kingdom. Amen. And I believe that there's people here today that there's things that God has spoken to you to do. There's things that God has put in you to do. There's things that God's is challenging you maybe to take a step of faith. I'm not talking about being foolish. But I'm talking about things that been there this whole time and you just keep, there's a reason and a reason and a reason and a reason. And God's saying, no, I want you to do this. I want you to take this step. I want you to do that. Amen. And I think that we need to always take inventory and say, Lord, am I being obedient to you? Amen. Am I being obedient to you? Bow your heads with me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I wanted to take a moment and pray over those of you today that you know the Lord has been dealing with your heart, dealing with you about obedience. It would be stepping into a place here at the church and serving and being a part. Amen. It could be just simple as walking across the street and talking to your neighbor. Obedience isn't always stepping off of a cliff. Obedience comes in so many different scenarios. But I believe in my spirit there are people here that you need to be obedient. That God's been dealing with you. If that's you, I just want to pray for you right where you sit. I just want to pray over you this morning. If that's you, just slip up your hand. Come on, right now, just slip it up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. He's not mad at you. He's not mad at you. He's not punishing you. He's not, it's not that kind of thing. He's always wooing us in to say, hey, come on, you can do it. You can do it. I got you. I got you covered. Come on, anybody else? I'll pray for you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Just want you to know, I'm just acknowledging that I see your hands. Father, I thank you for each of these. That, Father, that as they've lifted up their hands, they're acknowledging that you are dealing with them. And, Father, I pray over them. That, number one, that they know that they know that they know. It's not just a hope or something that they came up with last night, but they know that they know. And that, Father, that they're willing to take the next step in obedience. Take that step of faith. Take that step towards you. Take that step to witness to their neighbor. Take that step to step up and maybe get involved. Take that step, Father, to forgive or, Father, whatever it is, that there's that step of faith, that step of obedience. And I pray over them right now. That there would be strength and there would be courage to do that. And Father, they wouldn't necessarily second guess. And that, Father, you help them. And that, Father, I pray for wisdom and direction. That, Father, that they're filled with the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That they're not chasing after just their own dream or their own heart's desire. But, Lord, that they are chasing after the assignment that you have for them. And Lord, I thank you for it. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Well, it brings me to another place in the service today. And the question is, you know, I preach to you regularly, and every message that I minister to you is a message that I have to preach to myself first. The day that I preach to you and I don't apply it to my own life, I become a fake preacher. I just become a purveyor of information instead of ministering the truth. And so in my life, I've got to make sure that I preach to myself first, right? And many times the messages that you hear, there are things that God's already dealing with me about. And so, you know, this morning I have both excitement in my life, but I also have heaviness. Because just as I've ministered to you the importance of obedience, Julie and I have to be obedient to what the Lord is leading us to do through His Spirit. So, that being said, I'll be stepping down as the pastor of Covenant Life Church. I'm not stepping down today, but I will be stepping down. Jill and I are going to be moving back to Shreveport, and we're going to move back to serve Pastor Sam at Life United. With much prayer and confirmation from the Lord, we believe it's our assignment. And I'm sorry if I'm having to kind of read through this, but I want to stay on and communicate clearly. These past 5.5 years have been our best. Now, they haven't all been easy. You know, you throw COVID in the midst, that wasn't easy. But we have a great team of leaders. We have a great church of people. And we were able to move through that. And we didn't suffer the fate of most churches, right? We moved forward. We overcame that. And I look around, you know, here, when I walk through, not just physically, but I look through spiritually and the leaders and all that's been done, and I say, man, look at what God's done. Look at what God's done. It never has been about Julie and I. If you've been here for any amount of time, our desire has always been to elevate other people. I mean, we know our role as pastors, but our heart's passion and desire is to see people fulfill their calling, and we've got to watch many of you step into new places, to step into positions of leadership, to step into things, to step out in faith and do things. We've got to be a witness of what God's done. Amen. And so, you know, Covenant Life is about you. And it's been about us, but it's been about us. Not just us, not just you, not just this person, that person. It's been about us. And you're the ones that make Covenant Life great. You're the ones in your obedience and the leadership from our board to our staff to our team leads. You know what I'm saying? Our dream team. You guys have made Covenant Life what it is today, and it's your obedience that's going to make Covenant Life what it's going to be tomorrow. That's what's going to make the difference. And yes, it's going to be important who leads that, but it's not being built and has not been built on us. And so we believe that it'll continue to thrive. You guys will continue to be able to fulfill God's mandated mission on this local church. And listen, the mission doesn't change. Just because there's change here doesn't mean that it's God changing the mission as far as in its basic form of the local church and what he's called covenant life to do. So you say, Pastor Rob, I'm just going to answer a few questions. Why are you leaving? We're simply leaving to be obedient to the direction of the Lord. Amen. That's it. There's no other reason. We're being obedient to what we believe God has called us to do in our next season. So the next question comes and say, well, Pastor Rob, what about your family? Well, my family's going to be moving as well. My family moved when he came here to be a part. My family's going to be moving, each according to God's timing for them. And it's important for you to know that, respect that. It's according to the timing that God has for each one of them, and that's all my family. So that's Emily and Caleb. That's going to be Austin and Victoria, and that's going to be Katie and Richard. And they're being obedient, doing what God's asked them to do, right? And that's all we've put in our kids to do, is you have to live your life and do what God's called you to do. So they're going to be doing that. And to go ahead and let you know right now, Caleb and Emily will be, next Sunday will be their last Sunday. And I know it's quick. It's actually quicker than we thought, but Caleb has got a job, right? And he's got to go and be there for his job. And I know you guys understand that. And so their last Sunday, and we're going to pray for them next week. We're going to send them off in a proper way. We're going to honor them for what they've done and move them forward. Amen. And so you say, well, and just by the way, for the young people, they have service tonight. They're going to be there tonight. There'll be some young people that come on Sunday night that don't come here for church, but the kids come to youth. But next Sunday night, we're going to throw a party for them. We're going to, you know, rejoice with them and be able to send them on their way. So the next question is what about the children and the youth? Like, Pastor Rob, okay, so what does this mean for our youth ministry and our children's ministry? Well, this is what's taking place. For our children's ministry, Antonio and Brittany Baldwin, who are actually back there in the kids' ministry right now so that Austin and Victoria could be in the service. They've been the co-directors of our kids' ministry the last over 2 years. And so they're going to step in and take on the role of kids' directors. And they're going to help lead the kids into the next season. For the youth ministry, for now, and it is temporary, but Pastor Kevin and Pastor Jackie are going to step into a spiritual oversight role. Amen. Now, I want to communicate this, and this is expressed from their heart. I'm not doing this towards them. They know this. They're not becoming the next youth pastors. You need to know that. That they are saying, hey, there's a need. And we're going to step in and we're going to help. And if you remember, they're the ones that first took it on when we got here. And they grew it. And then they turned it over to Caleb Emily and grew it. And now they're saying, hey, we don't want to lose what God's done. So we're going to step in and they're going to provide teaching. And they're going to provide the spiritual oversight. But the youth ministry has a great team of leaders, both adults and student leaders, that have already been being prepared to step up and already being used to help do the work of the ministry, if you will. And so that's how that's going to flow and how that's going to operate in that arena. And then whenever the new pastor is brought in, then the new pastor can decide what to do on a more permanent basis with our youth. But it wouldn't be fair for us to try and solve that before they get here. Amen. So y'all understand that. So we are very just honored and appreciative for them being willing to do that and step in to that space and help and make sure that you guys, as our young people, and I just want to say this, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of our young people, and I'm proud of what God's been doing and accomplished there. Amen. Amen. Come on. So the big question is, who's going to lead CLC into the next season? We're working on it. We have a search team comprised mainly of the ones that found us, right? And we've tasked them to be able to search and to look for the next pastor here at Covenant Life Church. So we're in the process. We don't have an answer yet, but how many of you know God has an answer? Amen. God has an answer for that. And so our heart is, for Jill and I, our heart is to pass the baton to be able to pass the baton to the next pastor. Amen. That's why we're not stepping down today, right? And so we're believing God, and then as we come together with the help of our board of directors, and you know, we're going to be able to put that next person in place and get behind them, just like you guys have gotten behind us. Listen, when Pastor Rick retired 5.5 years ago, God brought us. And I look and say, God, look at what you've done. Well, God didn't do all that he's done in these 47, 48 years and say, well, I'm done now. He's got more to do, and he's got the right person for that. Amen. And so God's going to take care of that. God's going to bring that in. And I'm excited about that. And I look forward to seeing how that plays out and how God brings it all together. So how do we respond to this as the church? What's the response? What do we do? Well, I told you before, the church doesn't stop its mission just because of change. So as the search is taking place, CLC continues. Our youth continues, our kids continue, our outreach continues, amen. Our life groups continue, Sunday morning, like everything continues. Now we're not adding anything crazy. You see what I'm saying? But we're not stopping everything. We're gonna stay consistent and do what God's called us to do and continue to maintain that direction moving forward. And then we're going to look up to Jesus. We're going to keep our eyes on Jesus because he's the head of his church. Jesus said, I will build my church. Amen. And he's the head of it. CLC belongs to no man. We all have a part in it, but it belongs to no man. It belongs to the Lord. And the Lord is overseeing that to make sure that the next step, if Julie and I are being obedient, and we believe we are, that's a rhetorical question, right? Then God's got a step, and he's got an answer. Amen? Y'all believe that? Come on. Amen. So we're going to take a posture of faith and prayer. We're going to believe God together, and we're going to pray over the search team, right? They need wisdom. They need direction. We're going to pray over them to be led by the Spirit, be led by the counsel of heaven. Right? And then we're going to pray now over the coming pastor. We're going to continue to pray over the coming pastor. And we're going to pray them in. We're going to pray for that divine appointment. We're going to pray for that divine connection. And then we're going to pray for the CLC family as a whole during this transition. God is faithful, and he has the right persons to lead Covenant Life Church into the next season. I believe that. Amen. And so as your pastor, I know, you know, it may seem a little different, but as your pastor, I'm asking you, don't just run off and say, oh, what's going to happen? We know exactly what's going to happen. God's going to do and finish what he started here at Covenant Life. Amen. And you guys received us and our family when we came with open arms. And to that, we are 100% grateful. So grateful that you did that for us. You loved us. You love us. Amen. You've blessed us. You've taken care of us. Amen. And I believe that for the next pastor, that you're going to do the same for them. So, Julie and I love you. Just because change comes doesn't mean we don't love you. Right? Doesn't mean that. We do love you. We do pray for you. We do care for you. Until the day we step down, right? And we'll let you know. We're not going to show up one day and just say we're out, right? We'll let you know. But until the day we step down, we're going to pastor you. I'm going to continue to preach to you. Amen. We're going to love you and minister to you and your family and our leadership team. And, you know, not just us, but everybody's going to continue to do the work of the ministry. But we wanted to announce it because of the quickness of some of it. But I don't like rumors. Our church is not a gossip rumor church. We're not a dramatic church, right? And as long as I'm here, we won't be that. Amen. But I want you to understand, and I wanted you to know ahead of time, because I don't want you to find out from hearsay. Amen. And that's why we wanted to get the information out there to you, because, you know, with the board and our leadership and all of that, we want you to be able to know and then to be able to stand and to believe together with our team to be able to see that next pastor come in. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you. We have for the next three Monday nights, we have prayer. And if you can be there, I encourage you to be there. And we're going to take that posture of prayer. And we're going to seek the Lord and just walk with Him. And we're going to trust Him. And we're going to let God do His part as we do our part. Amen. Amen. Well, we love you very much with all of our heart. And we're here, and that's really all I got to say. Amen. It's a hard one. Thank you. Thank you for loving us. And thank you for the honor that you've shown us. It means the world to us. Amen. So, God bless you. No, this is not a great note, but we got to stop somewhere. Amen. So, God bless you. And we're going to be here. We will see you next week. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, hold on before you go. Yeah, I almost forgot. I need to pray. I didn't have that written. My mind is 1,000 different places. Let me pray. Father, I pray over every family here. Father, the families that are a part of Covenant that aren't here. And Father, I thank you that it's your grace. It's by your Spirit. It's your strength. It's your wisdom. It's the leading of your Spirit to take Covenant Life into the next season. And I pray over all of us during this transition that, Lord, that we walk together with a spirit of unity. We walk together in love. We walk together, Father, in faith and expectation. And, Lord, those that are taking on more, those that are doing extra in order to help take in up the slack or step into to places where there are gaps, let there be a grace and strength upon their lives. And Father, I thank you that you will meet every need, every skilled labor need, Father, every ministry need, everything, Father, you will meet that need. And we just call in those laborers now. I thank you that you're stirring hearts in this place. Father, those even now that say, Lord, here I am, I'll step up. Here I am, I'll step into that place. Here I am, I'll serve, I'll pray. That, Father, you are working and you are stirring even now. And Father, we pray together over the next pastors. That, Father, you have the right person. A man and woman of God, ones that have a heart for your sheep, shepherds after your own heart, your word says, that will serve faithfully and diligently, that they'll be accurate and strong in the word of God, rightly dividing the word of truth, leaning on you to confirm your word with signs and wonders. And that, Father, they'll be those of faith and love. Father, those that understand your grace and understand the redemptive work of Christ, Father, we just stand together as a church and we declare it. And we believe it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Now you may be dismissed.